We greet you this evening again in the name of Jesus. I don't know how you commonly do it around here, but I'd like to have us kneel together and pray before we go any further here. So if we can kneel together, let's all kneel together. Holy Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, unholy in our own way, made holy by the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are forever indebted to him for that. And we love you, Lord, and we thank you that you have done that for us. We thank you for the opportunity to come before you like this, Gentiles without hope, without God, and yet you have called us in and collected us in and welcomed us in to your presence. That, Father, we just want to acknowledge you, is our greatest blessing we could have. To come into your presence and be accepted and be loved, be cared for. So, Father, this evening we pray, we thank you for that first, but we pray, Father, that you would, with your Holy Spirit, come and minister to us again this evening. Minister to us. Speak into our hearts. That this time of service, this time of a worship of you, would not be wasted, but rather would be beneficial, profitable, that you might be honored. We pray, Father, for anyone here who's struggling, who's wondering, not sure where they are with you, or those who are confident and they're shouldn't be confident, those who are seeking for more, pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would come and just minister to our hearts this evening. We look up to you. We're depending on you. You have been so good to us in the past, and we pray and even expect that you'll be good to us even yet this evening again. And we thank you, Father, for that confidence that you have given to us. Be with us now, again, Father, for your glory, the praise of your glory, to the honor of your majesty. May this evening be another time of your people coming together and just sending up praises and honor and glory to you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. About 2 years ago, a little bit more than 2 years ago, 2 years and almost 2 months ago, I lay in a hospital bed awaiting heart surgery. I felt perfectly fine. I felt good up till this point, and suddenly I felt, well, not suddenly, but it came on me kind of slowly, but I felt this pain in my chest. It would go away after a while. I'd exercise a little bit, and I'd feel the pain coming, and it would go away. But we pursued it a little farther, and eventually the doctor said, we want you to go to the hospital, and we just want to watch you for a couple days. Prior to that, we had an experience that every morning for about 5 or 6 mornings straight, at 5:30 in the morning, I would wake up with this pain in my heart, in my chest here. I didn't even have to roll over in bed for it to happen. I tried that. But it just happened. Here it was, 5:30 in the morning. Every morning for 4, 5, 6 mornings straight, I felt this pain. We said we need to have it checked out, so we did. And it ended up, basically the doctor said, I want you to go to the hospital, and I want to just watch you for a little bit, and let's see how it goes. So I was there for a couple days, and here it came again, and told the nurse there, and she called, I forget what she called it, but she said, I'm going to call for this in this code, I don't know what it was, and it won't be very long till your room will be filled with people. There'll be people here with all sorts of different capabilities, and they have their job to do, and they're going to be there ready. She was right. So here it was. Here they were, all these people in here, and And I don't remember exactly how it all went, but the doctor then came in and said, Mark, he said, we're going to surgery. I canceled all my appointments this morning, and we're going to do surgery. And he said, I could put a stent in if you really wanted me to, but the best thing I could do is do a bypass. I had a blockage down here in this fork of my veins here, and he said, I'm going to go to here, and here I'm going to bypass this blockage right here. So that's what he did. But before I did that, this was early in the morning. My wife wasn't here at the hospital yet at that time. Before I did that, they got me prepped and ready. And there's a lot of details I'm skipping over here. But she eventually came to the hospital there just before it was ready to wheel me into the hospital room. I had some words I wanted to say to her. I expected to come out of the surgery okay, but I didn't know. I had some words I wanted to say to her. And these are the words I said. And I'm going to say this to you tonight. I said, sweetheart, be faithful. I said, tell the children, be faithful. As it turned out, obviously I came through the surgery okay and I'm feeling good now. But I want to make a point that if I had not come through the surgery, I can almost promise you those words would have been very precious to my wife and to my children and my grandchildren. Those would have been my last words I would have spoken to them. I'd like to talk about your words tonight. I'd like to talk about what you say, why you say them, maybe even how to say them, and probably most important, the importance of them. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 12, and verse 36 and 37. This is Jesus talking. This is Jesus' words, and I like so much to think as I read the Scriptures and as we talk about them, that these words were from the Son of God come down to earth, and these are His words. These are what He said. It's not just some story that somebody's telling, and it's not just from some normal person. These words that we have written here, many Bibles are in red, are the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I want to, if somehow I'd like to impress that on my mind, I'd like to just let that sink into my heart as I read or as I listen to these words being spoken. These words are words from the Son of God. They're not just normal words, you might say. They're words from God. We wonder sometimes if God would speak to us, Lord, tell us what you think and teach us. These are His words. These are His words. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, Jesus says, excuse me, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And he goes on and says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. What's coming out of your mouth is coming out of your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart. So you may think, well, my words are just whatever. Words matter. It matters what you say. There's two reasons. One, it matters because as you listen to your words, as you speak them, you can get a bit of the temperature of your heart. You can get a bit of the quality of your heart. The words you speak, the things you say, what you talk about. You can look at those words. You look at your own words. You don't need to look at anybody else's. You look at your own words and say, "So that's my heart. That's what's in my heart." Number one. And number two, what you say matters. It affects people. If I told you this evening that Brother David, or another brother in your church, if I told you this evening that I had a conversation with him, and you know, he told me some things that I just can't hardly believe him. I mean, he said things, I wonder if he even told the truth. I wonder. I don't know, but I wonder. And I wonder why he said them. What was in his heart that made him say those words? Something a bit negative about somebody, or something a bit, just a bit of a question. Threw a question on somebody. And you'd say, "Really? He said that?" Now, you're going to have, now there's a little bit of a question over that person's life. You may think, "Oh, I don't think so." But still, what you said did make a difference. It affects the way we think of people. I could say something about one of you young ladies that I don't even hardly know you, but one of you young men. You know that young man back there? He told me something the other day that, yesterday, he told me something that about somebody else. You know what I'm saying? It's just going to affect the way we think of people. Or maybe you heard something about me. I told you just a little bit about me last night, and it wasn't so nice. Words make a difference. I'm telling you, they do. It's going to affect the way you view others, and what they said or what they said about somebody else. Jesus said that every idle word that men shall speak. Now, I didn't look up the meaning of that word idle, but I'm going to take it to mean this. Every little word, every single word that men shall speak, even if it's just a little word, every idle word that men shall speak shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Actually, I did look up that. I didn't read my notes here well enough here. I did look that up. It says, idle means inactive, unemployed, lazy, useless, barren. That's kind of the words that came along with this word idle. These words that had little meaning, or they just were empty, useless. And Jesus says, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, there's other things also in life. I'm not going to put all the emphasis on our words tonight. There's actions and all those kind of things, that attitudes that also God is going to look at as He looks at our life. I'm not taking that away from anything, but He does say He's going to look at our words. So I'd like to emphasize that this evening a bit, and just look at some of the reasons why it matters. It is expected, and it's right, and I think it does happen, I know it happens, that when a person gets born again, when he goes from serving self to serving Christ, things change. And I would encourage you, again, like I said, if as you make that change, or as you look at your life now, and you listen to your words, have they changed? From when you were, before you were born again, to after? Have they changed? What are your words now? In Romans chapter 3, verse 14 there, it says, well, I'll read and start in 10. He says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none righteous. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. He's talking about the unrighteous. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongue they have used deceit, and the poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Now, some of you who, before you were converted, and some of you who are not converted, you may take offense at that and say, wait a minute, I don't really talk that way. I'm not full of cursing and bitterness. Okay, I'll let you have that. But I want you to know that there's a difference when we change from serving self to serving Christ. I want you to know there is a difference. And I'm going to say it, emphasize it again. Listen to your words. Think about how you speak. Think about what you speak. Think about what you say. Is there a difference? Romans tells us also, Paul in Romans says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the word, with the mouth, words, confession is made unto salvation. We get a little glimpse here a bit how important our words are. If confession is made unto salvation, don't underestimate the value of words and the words you say. Again in Romans he says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, he says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. That's the essence of what God is saying to us of the unbeliever. But the believer's mouth, the believer's words, is that, again, Romans, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. We're talking about our communication. We're talking about how we talk about and how we talk to others. That you may with one mouth, one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that administer grace to the hearts of the hearers. James tells us that our tongue is an unruly member. And he says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Now, if I had an unruly dog, I'll just use that illustration. If I had an unruly dog, a dog that just simply couldn't be controlled and was out of control, and I didn't know what to do with him, you know what I'd do with him? I'd pin him up. You would too. You would pin him up, tie him up, whatever it took. You would prevent him from being unruly. You'd prevent him from doing the things that he would do being an unruly dog. Or if you had an unruly child, you would stay close to him as parents, and you would take care of him, and you would prevent him from being unruly. You would do what it took. Or if you had an unruly neighbor, a neighbor that was just kind of undependable and they just kind of did things the way they wanted to do things, and you'd put locks on your gate or put a fence around your property, I don't know what. But you would do something to take care of that unruly thing. You'd do what it took to take care of that unruly thing. James says the tongue is an unruly member. It needs to be controlled. You need to pay attention to what you're saying. You need to control it. So if our tongue is an unruly member among us, in us, We need to do something about it. This was said of Jesus. This is Jesus now. And several, so I just paraphrased here, but he says in one place, they were amazed at the gracious word that he spoke. They were amazed at the gracious word that he spoke. He didn't have an unruly tongue. And they said, he has the words of eternal life. This is what Jesus said. We all want to be like Jesus. And with his words, he testified of the Father and exhorted them, it says. Now, there were those who didn't like what he said, but there were those who did. And this is what he said. Another place in the Scriptures, he says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up strife. These are our words. These are what we say. These are what comes out of our mouth. What comes out of our heart. You know, you've probably experienced it, or maybe you have, maybe you haven't. You've probably experienced, though, that, you know, the way you respond to a person, they respond back in a certain way. You respond to them in a kind and gracious way. You ever notice on the telephone? I have. My wife has noticed it with me. If I'm speaking to somebody on the phone, that they're loud and boisterous and they have, you know, that's the way they are, I tend to be that way too. Somebody that's soft-spoken, it's a lot easier to be that way. What I'm saying is, you make a difference. What we say out of our mouth makes a difference in not only the response to us, but also to ourselves. You have a phone call like that and you get done and take a deep breath and calm down again. If you have a boisterous phone call. Or if you have a quiet phone call, that's the way you are when you get done too. James also says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. It says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. Job says, how long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with your words? You know, there's a saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You know, that's not true. It's not true. It is so true. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can hurt me too. Again in Job, he says, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? The words of a talebearer are as wounds and go down into the innermost parts of the belly. The words of a talebearer, they hurt. You've probably all been hurt. I don't know if you have or not. I hope not, but maybe you have. Been hurt by some words that maybe somebody said one time. Somebody that you respected, somebody appreciated, and they said some unkind words. I think we can all relate. They hurt. They hurt. There are people among us that are, and I'm thinking of nobody in particular, that are insecure. They're just not comfortable with who they are. You know, we've used the words before, they're not even comfortable in their own skin. It makes you uncomfortable to be around them. They're just so backwards and just the way they are sometimes. You know, not always, but many times that's a result of having been not encouraged or not appreciated or couldn't do anything right, so to speak. That's what happens sometimes as people are. Young children are growing up sometimes. Maybe mom and dad aren't who they should be, and they're a little bit negative, and they can really hurt. They can change the direction of a child's life. So can you. I know of a young man one time that there was a family that There's two boys, there's two brothers, and somehow they just didn't quite fit in. They were cousins of mine, and it just seemed like what they said just didn't come out right, and the boys around them didn't receive them very well. They kind of made fun of them. And today, even still today, the one especially, when he speaks, it's just kind of goes flat. It feels defensive or something. It feels like he's got something to prove when he speaks. He's trying to overcome what words did to him earlier in life. Words are very powerful. Brother Andrew talked this afternoon about about relationships. Relationships can be wrecked by words. The words you say, the words you hear. But now let's talk about kind words, pleasant words. Proverbs says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, and sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. It says again we already quoted this, but that which is, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto your hearts. Grace unto the hearers, it says. You know, simple words, simple kind words, it is a spirit that can be encouraging or discouraging. Simple kindness is like, glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Or, you're such a blessing. And you may think, why am I a blessing? I'm going to encourage you, if somebody's giving you a blessing, accept it. Sometimes it's pretty hard for us, to those of us who may have a bit of insecurity in us, to accept the blessing somebody gives. I'm suggesting to you, accept it as a blessing. It'll be a blessing to you. Thanks for your help. God bless you. Words of confidence, words of encouragement, let that come out of your mouth. Those are the kind of things that really matter. In Matthew 5, Jesus is talking. He says, again, ye have heard it hath been said by them, that is Matthew 5:33, by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, neither shalt thou swear by the head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea and yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. He's saying a couple things there. He's saying, be honest. If you mean yes, say yes. If you mean no, say no. He's also saying that a lot of things. All you have to do is answer simply. Just simply. Simply answer the truth. And be honest. Be true. That's one thing he's saying. But another thing I want to mention was, he says, swear not at all. Now, I don't know what you think about when I say swear. There's a couple of different things. Swear words can be bad words. Words we don't want to say. But I'll make a little note here, if I may, and give you a little encouragement. If Jesus is saying, be careful the words you use, then we should be careful the words we use. If indeed He says that you're not to take the name of the Lord your God in vain, or to just use it lightly, in other words, what does He mean, and do we ever do that? I don't know if you do or not. But let me give you, and bear with me here, I apologize if I tell you things you didn't know. I don't think I am. There are some slang words that are short for God and Jesus. I'm just going to tell you what they are. Please forgive me, parents, if I say something wrong here. Gosh. That's just a slang word for God. Or gee. That's just a slang word for Jesus. So we don't take those things lightly. Doesn't it strike your heart sometimes when you hear people, I hear it occasionally, they use the name of the Lord in vain. They just say, their explanation is, it just hurts my heart. I'm suggesting to you young people that some of these other little words, even like, and I struggle with this in a bit, my goodness, it's short for my God. And it's not said usually with respect. It's just kind of an exclamation. Consider that. Maybe you disagree with me, I don't know, but I just consider, let's be very careful. I just want to emphasize the value or the power or the sensitivity that we should have towards the words that we speak. Those things are words, that's taking the name of the Lord in vain, very close to it if it's not doing it. And there's another thing Jesus says here in this passage. He's saying, swear not at all. He says, be truthful. So if you swear, you know, you swear by God, or you even on some of these forms you have to fill out sometimes, it says, I swear that this is telling the whole truth. Some you go to get a paper notarized. Sometimes they have the word swear down there, and you sign your name there. I'm going to encourage you. It may seem like a little thing to you, but I'm going to encourage you to strike out that word swear and put affirm. I've never yet seen anybody reject it. Maybe they will, I don't know. But as soon as we start compromising on little things like that, it's pretty easy to keep compromising more and more. I'm going to encourage you, strike out the word swear. And I'll tell you why I think, this is just my thought here, why I think that Jesus says, do not swear by heaven or by anybody or anything else. Because when we swear, the implication is, I think the intention is, that when we swear, that it is saying, I like to look at it this way, it's saying that I'm expecting God, that I am just like God, and I will hold this thing true and faithful regardless. When God didn't tell us to do that, He told us not to do that. He said, you just say what's right and what's wrong. You just say yes or no. You don't have to swear by anything. Don't swear. Don't hold me up to hold you up. I don't know if I'm saying that right or not. See, I have written here. Okay. So, I hope that makes sense to you. Those are just some things that I think are good for us to consider. There's such a thing as saying too many words. Too many words. There are words that are foolish. We can sometimes have a bit of a foolish spirit about us. I'm going to suggest to you, young people, that won't lead you into more godliness. Now, I grant you, sometimes we're not expected to always talk about God and Jesus and that's all. But I'm talking about foolishness. Hyperbole, which is, means exaggeration of something. And hyperbole is when we use something that we take a thing and make it bigger or exaggerate it more than what it really is. I'm going to suggest that we be careful with those words. The words that are just simply, they make things bigger than they are, or worse than they are, or funnier than they are. Be careful of our words. They matter. We'll give an account for them. All of them. Someday. Humor. What about humor? Sometimes there are things that are funny. They just strike us funny. I don't know if Jesus ever laughed right outright or not. You think He did? Young ladies, you think He did? You can't give a wrong answer. The boys think He did more than the girls. I don't know if they're just too bashful to shake their head, nod their heads or not. I don't know. What do you think? You think He laughed outright? That is so funny. You think He did that? You guys think He did? Anybody think He didn't? Okay. Well, I don't know, of course. I don't know. But I'll just say this. If our humor is at someone else's expense, it's not funny anymore. Even if they don't even hear it, it's not funny. Because you have now put into the heart of the other person that heard you say this a question. If your humor is at someone else's expense, it's not humor. You know, humor sometimes can be raw humor, coarse humor. It's not funny. Ask yourself this. What would you laugh at in the presence of Jesus? Would you laugh at that joke in the presence of Jesus? Ask yourself that whenever you are. You know, there are things said that if you let in your flesh, you let it be there. They can be funny, but they're not funny, really. Ask yourself, would I laugh at that if Jesus was standing here? Ask yourself, would Jesus tell that joke? If you all agree He laughed, He probably saw some humor in things, and whether He told jokes or not, I don't know. I don't know. Doubt it, but I don't know. There is a place for us to be a Daniel. In order to be able to withstand some of these things, some of these jokes that somebody might think is funny, and if you in your carnal mind you think it's funny, in order to withstand and not laugh at those things and to condition your heart, this is my point, condition your heart that I have a holy God watching over me, and I have give an account for these things that I laugh at, these things that I say, these things that I agree with. Just cultivate that in your heart. I'm not saying you can't talk about other things too. You need to. But I'm just talking about when you listen or when you speak, when you respond, how you respond and what you say, would you do that if Jesus were standing here beside of you? You know, sometimes some of us have the problem of talking too much. We just get going and it just keeps on going, you know, blabber, 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 blabber. And maybe that's not all wrong. Maybe you don't say anything bad. Maybe you don't. But let me tell you what, you know what the Proverbs say about that? It says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Be wise with what you say. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. In other words, their sin comes out of too many words. And there's wisdom in being a little quieter. He that refraineth his lips is wise. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. Again, be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Let thy words be very careful with your words. I'm going to give you a little advice here. If you find yourself dominating the conversation, stop. Other people have things to say too. And maybe there's a little pride in what you're saying. Maybe there's a little bit of too much I in what you're saying. If you find yourself dominating, just you're in a group of people and just you are the one doing all the talking. Because you have all the answers or you have all the thoughts and it just kind of runs and runs and runs. I'm going to suggest to you, stop. You'll gain more respect if you want to gain respect. If you will let other people speak instead of you telling them all of your wisdom, so to speak. If you find yourself repeating yourself two or three times in a conversation because you think they need to hear what I have to say, it's better for you for them to wonder why you only said it once than wonder why you said it so many times. Lengthy detail. There's a place for lengthy detail. There's also a place to let your words be few. Fewer. If you find yourself telling, I don't know what you think of when I'll say this, juicy stories, reconsider. Juicy stories are usually stories that have some truth in them, but probably they tickle the ear of the curious seeker who is not so concerned about what they hear. Does that make sense? Now, sometimes what we don't say says as much as what we do say. Sometimes what we don't say says as much as what we do say. What I mean by that is this. You hear somebody speaking about the man upstairs. I'm not saying you have to say something all the time. Do you know what I mean when I say that? Man upstairs. You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? You do? Okay. So if we don't say anything about that person that said that thinks we're right on line with him, right on target with him, and it feels to me like it's just a bit disrespectful. He's not a man, and he's not upstairs. He's Almighty God. To not say something is to agree with him. I'm suggesting that yes, maybe we should say something. And there's a time when we say too few words. We should say more. You know, sometimes I found this in my life before. I found it being that I may say something or we may be talking about a subject and I have been contributing and somebody challenges me and somebody comes back with a rebuke or rebuttal or something else and I get quiet. There's a place for that. But there's also a place to go ahead and say what you're thinking because if when you get quiet, they immediately think, they could think, why is he getting quiet? And have I don't know how to say it, have bad thoughts about you. And thinking that you may be thinking you're just shutting them out and considering them not worth listening to. Or you may be saying, I know better than that. I'm not even going to talk to you anymore. I don't know how it may be. But sometimes we need to say something. Sometimes we need to be quiet. We need to listen to the Spirit of God as we as we have our conversations. And I guess as a general principle of rule, again, ask yourself, how would Jesus respond? It's always going to be in a way of speaking the truth. It's always going to be a way of making sure our words are wise. They're not just foolish words. Those kinds of things. Bear that in mind as you converse with people. Our words can carry weight with them. I told you, what if I told you something about this brother down here and you knew that brother. I know of a situation where there was an accusation made towards a young lady, and she said, "It's not true." We knew this young lady very well, and we just simply told her, "Young lady, you have lived your life in a way that we know it's not true. You live your life in a way. Somebody says something negative about you or something that's not true about you. Live your life in a way so that your friends would say, not him, not her. I know her better than that. Live your life in such a way that the words they say are, that if they say negative words about you, you know and everybody else knows, your friends know, they're not true. Live your life in that way." So we ask, what are your words worth? When you speak to somebody, what are they worth? When you open your mouth and speak, do your friends stop and listen? What are they worth? Have you developed and maintained an air or a reputation of being able to that what you say is worthwhile? Let your words be worthwhile. I'm going to recount a conversation here, a couple conversations. And I'm going to just let you determine in your heart which one strikes you the best. I'm going to speak to the boys first. And this is the way the conversation goes. Hey, Calvin. I don't know if Calvin's here or not. I apologize. I don't know if there is or not. I'm not talking to you, Calvin. Hey, Calvin. Long time no see. Hey, Kurt. No kidding. What's up? I don't know if there's any Kurt's here either. Not much. New car? Yeah. Cool. Well, got to deal with Dad's ideas. I know. Been there, done that. What you been doing? Work. You? Oh, it's bow season. So you know what I've been up to. Well, I hope you get a big one. Got to go. Hope you get the car you want soon. Yeah, thanks. See you. Bye. Yep. That's one conversation. Now let me give you another one. The conversation, you listen to this one. Hey, Joe, been a long time since I've seen you. It has, John. How have you been? I'm doing okay. You seem a little, down maybe. Yeah, you're kind, yes. You have time to talk a bit? Of course. It's my relationship with my dad. We clash too much, and I don't like it. I'm sorry. What have you done about it? I don't know what to do about it. I think I try, but it just didn't seem like I get anywhere. Have you spent time in prayer? Or in the Word? Some probably, but not enough. Tell you what, why don't you, for the next 30 days, do a study in Proverbs, write down every reference you find on authority and gaining wisdom and honoring your father. Things like that. I can do that. I'll appreciate your prayers for me over that time. Well, I've been there, John. And that helped a lot. That and some confession to the Lord and to my dad. Thanks, Joe. You're a real friend. We'll be in touch. God bless you. I'll be praying. Now, I realize there's two different subjects there. But you can easily see the difference of what comes out of the heart of those boys as they talk. Okay, girls, I'm going to talk to you now. Are there any Trishes here? Trish? Okay. I'm not sure what the other name is here. Maybe there isn't one. Wow, Trish, it's been a long time since I've seen you. Yeah, our family took a long vacation. Have fun? Yeah, I guess. All the little kids sort of get under my skin. But it is nice enough. You busy? I work a lot. Work and youth group, that's pretty much my life. Looks like you've had some time to sew. Yeah, I like the style. Makes you look thin. Your dad okay with it? Not really. But hey, you got to be young. You know how preachers and dads are. Always picky. Yeah, I know. I guess they forget. They forget how it was to be young, I guess. That's one conversation. Katie, good to see you. Hi, Sandy. You're just as lovely as you've always been. You're doing well? I am. Feeling very blessed. Did you know my older sister got married? I didn't. That's a blessing. Everyone happy about it? Oh, yes. Godly young man. Going to be a real blessing to the family. Great. What are you busy with? Well, I work a couple days a week, but helping Mom a lot. Me too. I am grateful for this season. What's God been teaching you? Patience. Lots of little siblings do that, you know. See the difference? There's a difference. Maybe in the first ones, they didn't say anything wrong, really, but maybe they did. But the second one comes out of a heart that's just different than the first. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Why? Not only the effect our words have on all the things we've talked about, but our words will determine what we're comfortable with and will eventually affect our choices. Our words will affect our choices. Sure, it comes out of the heart, but when it comes out of the heart and you speak it, it does affect us and affects others too. So I'm going to tell you this. Every choice that you make, the words you speak, the things you do, let's keep it to the words, every choice has a consequence. Every choice you make, the words you say, the things you do, but let's just keep it to the words here. Every word you say has a consequence. And every decision has a direction. You're deciding how you want to speak and what you want to say. Every choice has a consequence. Every decision has a direction. And our words eventually become our actions. They say what is in our heart. They come out of our heart. It will, if it's not right away, will eventually become an action. I'll just ask you then, and you ask yourself this question. Do I need to watch my words a little more? Do I need to be a little more careful with my words? And ask yourself this question too. Are my words indicating something in my heart? The words that come out of my mouth and the attitude that comes out of my with my words, my spirit, those kinds of things, and the words I say, what is it saying about my heart? And I'm gonna leave you with this then. Just as I told my wife to tell my family, your last words. I didn't know if those would be my last words or not. But my last words, had I not lived through that surgery, those last words would have been a very, very, important words. I would have been remembered, at least by those other things too, but those words would have been remembered. So I ask you this night, tonight, young people, your last words. What are they? What will they be? As you consider what your words are and the effect that they have on you and the effect that they have on others and what God hears. When you look at that, what are your last words going to be? They may be the last word you said. Be careful with your words. Let's all stand for prayer. Father, we come to you again, and I pray, Lord, I pray, Father, as I prayed before, that these words I've spoken, that they've been right words. They're words that are valuable. They have some value to them, and they are effective. And they're kind words, and they're words that you can put your sanction and stamp of approval on. And I would pray, Father, that all of these young people, all of us, actually, all of us, that our words, the words we say, as the impression they leave, might leave the impression of that I have been with Jesus. I pray, Father, help us to carry that on our hearts. That what comes out of our mouth, we can analyze who we are. But that they would be that I have been with Jesus. Lord, make us that kind of people. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth and keep the door of my lips. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you may be seated.